The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota. So little time.
Hi, it's Phil Hendry. All the voices you hear on the show today, everybody that I interview, everyone that I take a phone call from, all the people that I talk to in studio, they're all me.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show. And this then is O Sleeper with Death from Above. Ooh. Little respect, General. This is an artistic effort.
Real artistic. Anyway, this is General Galen Shaw.
Woo!
Oh, grow up. Come on, Margaret. And Bud Dickman. Oh, yes, I was going to say that. I'm Robert Leonard. I wasn't going to say that. And now here's Phil Hendry. Thank you.
All right, let's just explore that for a moment.
You know, right away you want to get into it.
No, wait, I just want to turn it up, Bud. Oh, you're right, it is garbage.
I told you it's garbage. Why are you saying it's garbage now, Margaret?
Well, it isn't garbage in the strictest sense. In other words, officially, I think it's wonderful music. But yes, to me personally, just sitting here, having to endure another Monday, yes, it's garbage. It definitely is going to cause me some... You don't have to keep staring at me, General.
Well, I'm waiting for... See, this is the whole thing about staring at... You know, she don't like that. You're always talking about him staring at you. You know, you're talking, so...
Try and spit it out, Phil. Try and do it without going into this arm-flapping epileptic fit that you go into.
Shut up, will you? I'm not going into any epileptic fit.
Try not to act like your cat.
Now, how is Pancho? Poncho, and he's doing fine. What we're talking about here is you said you liked the song. It had some kind of an artistic...
Yeah, it had a very artistic intro, but then I heard the rest of the garbage... The garbage, you see.
Put it in the garbage.
The rest of it was garbage.
All right, so it's garbage.
But it has an integrity.
Margaret, thank you very much for that comment. And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It is a Monday. It's the 22nd of August. And I say that so that if this show is used as a rerun for any purpose in the future, you'll have to either edit that out or ignore it entirely.
Yeah, so what?
What do you mean, so? Because I'm making a point here. What it is, I don't know.
Yeah, now there you go.
All right. But anyway, so welcome to the program. We're going to be talking about Olympic basketball, Ryan Lochte.
What are we going to do? This kid, Ryan Lochte, is really making the news.
Well, Coach Dozier, as you know, he's not in the Olympics, he's in Brazil.
Yes, he's in the city where the Olympics is taking place.
Yeah.
He's in Rio de Janeiro. And he's going to give us his view on the Ryan Lochte thing, which I would go with you on this one, General, even though I don't really know what it was you were going to say.
Thank you.
I would say that, yeah, there's probably been too much made of that situation, given the fact that, Brazil is such a toilet bowl.
Yeah, you know, I've heard you make that point of view, Mr. Henry, and I've been telling people about it. They're not buying it. They still say that he's acting like a punk, like a little... A fresh-faced punk ought to have his face slapped.
Oh, I agree. I think Ryan Lochte should have his fresh mouth slapped for the things that he did. However, I also agree with Phil that the entire country of Brazil should have its several million faces slapped for the garbage pit they live in. I'm Margaret Gray.
Yay. Oh, yeah, okay, Margaret. Yeah, why don't you undertake to do that job? Well, there is a point. Not that they need their faces slapped, but... I think that there's the whole thing about how, you know, good thing Ryan Lochte did come along. Otherwise, you know, we might be thinking about and focusing on what a crap can, Brazil is. Okay, so that's where that's at. What else? Oh, so we had a hell of a weekend with our backstage pass people. We had a great chat.
Yes, the chat, I think, went very well. I know that Joe Olander was on the chat with you.
Yeah, we had Joe on, who is our new administrator, answer a lot of questions about... why shows were not getting downloaded, you know, how the iTunes link was broken at some point. Well, everything is back up to speed there. We've had a problem this weekend getting logged in with our friends at CyberSource because the passwords have been changed, and then they were changed again, all kinds of weird stuff. But that's getting taken care of, and we should be back to our full complement of 7 shows a week. You know, we're doing the Saturday Cinema.
There's a lot of people, they like a lot of that garbage you do, and they wanted to know about it.
What do you mean garbage? I mean, the movies, these are great movies.
Great movie? Oh, baby. Phantom of the Ghost Sea or whatever the hell? No, it was Ghost from the Phantom Sea. You know, oh, Ghost from the Phantom. You're telling me that's great.
That was, I thought it was pretty good. It had interesting special effects and everything.
But that was not a special effect. It was a man in a ghoul suit. That's all.
Now, I don't think you call it a ghoul suit.
You can call it a really lousy costume, is what you can call it.
Why?
Are you kidding me, man? Had like the Google Eyes and everything?
I thought they did well with the budget what they had.
Well, that may be true. They probably did do well with the budget what they had, but...
The point that we're making here, these are not great films, all right?
Well, you know, I think they're loud.
All right, that's, Bud, you're entitled to your opinion, and I thank you very much. I mean, they're pretty cornball, to be honest with you. I mean, we're going to be back with these on Saturday.
So the Saturday Cinema is back this coming Saturday.
This coming Saturday. And then Elcott will be back this coming Sunday. Excuse me, I think I almost belched, but I didn't quite.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you ought to talk about what happened on Saturday night.
What do you mean, what happened on Saturday night?
Come on, Henry, everybody knows. You came plowing through the door at about 1 a.m. with your friend, the Big D. You guys were blasted.
Oh, we went down to Get out of here. We went down to Quincy Street. We had a couple of pops, huh?
No, you're not drinking and driving.
No, we walked to the restaurant, okay? Literally. If ever there's a great place here at the El Pacifico, which is one of the great throwback beaches in California, if ever have a chance to visit, because this beach where I live, this community where I live, it reminds me of California in the 60s. Like there are still bait shops out there, you know, and there's still... just kind of that funky feel and the old school restaurants and stuff. So, now I got a message coming in.
Don't look at the, you're in the middle of the show.
It might be something from CyberSource.
Yeah, then you can throw your phone away.
That's a good point. No. So we went down to Quincy Street. Yeah, what about it?
Well, everybody said, man, you tagged, boy. Yeah.
You got tagged by the Dutchman, you know?
What is tagged by the Dutchman?
That's called getting drunk.
Yeah, it's just Phil got tagged by the Royal Dutchman.
I got tagged by the Royal... Let me tell you something. I had a few tequilas. Don was drinking some beers. We had the prime rib. Just a couple of bros, if you'll pardon the expression, bonding on a Saturday night while...
What was Lauren doing?
Lauren was back here. She was not feeling well. She wanted to just... In fact, Lauren's been helping with some of these customer service emails and stuff, so she preferred to do that, and it was fine. But I got back here, and in the middle of the night, I woke up. Is that what you're talking about, Bud?
Yeah, well, somebody said you woke up in the middle of the night and you wanted to go throw it up.
No, I didn't. I just woke up in the middle of the night with a blazing headache, so I went and I got a whole bunch of Advil and pounded that stuff down. So,
then did you introduce Don to Denny and all the guys?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Denny, this is my buddy Don. Denny's a stuntman. He just got done doing Fast and Furious 8. And owns this restaurant. And I asked him, I said, you know, why did you buy this? He said, well, this was my Cheers. This is where I came and had a few beers when I got home from work. I would hang out here on Friday, Saturday nights. This was my place. He came in when I said they were selling the restaurant.
Well, the menu is, Frank and I are not going to eat there yet because it's a little too much on the surfer side of the, you know what I mean? It's Frank and I love to go and dine elegantly. You see, you know what I mean by that, Bud?
Well, sort of, I mean...
I'll explain. Elegant dining. Elegant dining is when... You know what? I don't know.
What about elegant dining?
Elegant dining is what? When you have a male waiter?
Well, you're not going to have a female waiter. Oh!
Jesus!
Boy, Phil, she tagged you bad.
Yeah, you got tagged by the Dutchman twice.
Yeah, okay, whatever. yeah.
What are you laughing at?
The whole... Whoa! All right. Phil Hendry Show traffic. Let's do the traffic, man, before we flip our lids with Bob Bacon. Bob?
All right, Phil, on the Bronson Freeway, I got a Sambo alert, and what it is, you've got a strip right in front of the guy, so she'll be taking her clothes off, put it back on here in a couple of minutes. Out on the front of that freeway in downtown happening, and the gays flowing in there, they come off the tram ramp, and the pump ramp and the Trump ramp are both clammed left, and steady as she goes until 10 o'clock this morning. Let's go over there to Skyboy.
Hey, Bob, I've got the 4-0 driving on the west side. Hey, Ming Bong, very good. Is Carmageddon and all that? but stop down away from the bus. They're getting it. They burped the Getty, and they took Getty out and burped him. There you go, down there. So the boys scrambled in his weekend.
Nicaragua, what do you mean?
Miniature chickens at Del Rico's farm. Hi, I'm Chad Del Rico, and we're the supplier of Ted's of Beverly Hills Restaurant. The miniature chickens are back at Del Rico's farm. Del Rico's farm has the miniature chickens. They specialize in the evolutionary cul-de-sac that created such a small bird. And now you, too, can live the way Ted's of Beverly Hills and so many other restaurateurs live, serving up little tiny chickens that cost $50 a plate and wouldn't feed a guinea pig. Miniature chickens at Del Rico's farm. I'm Gus Del Rico. What did I say my name was?
Jack. Or something.
Well, it's Gus now, and that is where it will stay. Gus Del Rico's Del Rico Chickens. They're small, they're handy, they're tasty, they're with you forever and evermore. Del Rico Chickens.
Look for them in the frozen food section.
Hey, Ted's of Beverly Hills here. I'm Ted, rather. Hi, Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. That's what I meant to say. Hey, nothing like that miniature chicken, I'll tell you. You go ahead and pop that in your mouth, you haven't had anything. You feel like you're still gonna starve.
Miniature chickens.
Look for them in the frozen food section.
You said that.
Hey, I go and fuck them 40 minutes straight.
Right on.
Hey, showing up the 40.
Right on. All right, world famous Phil Henry Show. Yeah, right on. Hey, listen to Vernon Dozier.
Vernon is in Rio de Janeiro.
He certainly is, and I can tell you that, tell you what, you talk about a good gig, man. I would love to have a gig like that where you get to go to Rio de Janeiro and hang out there with the South American people. Are you tired of it yet, Coach? You want to come home?
Well, I don't know. I got tired of it about 2 days in. I got tired of sleeping it off in strange people's cars and everything because I forgot the key to my room and I didn't care and they weren't going to let me back in. And
what was that all about anyway?
Well, I mean, it was just the fact that the first few nights I was in Rio, I forgot the key to my room I didn't have. So I go to the hotel. I was frankly a little plastered, and they said, "Get out of here." They threw me out. So I would just talk people into letting me sleep in their car. And
what kind of a life is that, Coach? Do you know that you represent this show?
Hey, excuse me for a minute, Ms. Gray, but I'm talking here. Yes, I do know I represent the show. That's why I would not say, "Hey, I'm Vernon Dozier. I'm the Phil Henry Show." I'd just say, "Hey, I'm Vernon Dozier." And
well, how did you work all of this out?
How did I work what out?
What? You're not sleeping in cars anymore.
No, I'm not sleeping in cars anymore. I'm in the hotel. What is this guy? You want me to talk about Ryan Lochte, right?
Yeah, but talk about sleep in a car.
Well, I ain't talking about that no more, Dickman, so don't worry about that.
What about Ryan Lochte?
What about Ryan? Well, where do you want me to start?
All right, here, let's start here. Ryan Lochte is the swimmer who got into trouble for filing that fake police report. He also got chastised by Al Roker on American television, and a lot of people are, you know, saying that this guy has disrespected his sport, he has badly represented the country, you know, things like that.
All right, well, let's start out. First of all, let me start out with Al Roker. I couldn't care. You know, Al Roker is about as important to me, and I think anybody else in the sporting world, as what Shirley Temple would have been. It doesn't matter. Al Roker is today's Shirley Temple. He's not a little girl, and he doesn't tap dance and go, "Wee," you know, float around the room. But he has the same cultural impact. People are delighted by him. They think he's kind of cute. They always tune in when he's on. And then they don't really care what happens to him, you know. It's like Shirley Temple, I remember.
Talk about Shirley Temple for?
Because I'm making a point here.
Well, you're saying that Shirley Temple was entirely forgettable, and I don't think that's true.
No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying Shirley Temple, no one cared whether she lived or died. You see?
Well, that can't be true. She was one of the most popular...
Well, let me finish, all right?
Shirley Temple was Phil was saying, one of the most popular... but what has that got to do with Ryan Lochte and you sleeping in a car, for God's sake?
It's got nothing... It has this much to do with it, if you'll let me finish. Shirley Temple and Al Roker, they're about the same. People love them. They think they're cute. They want to pinch their cheeks. But once they're off the screen, no one cares whether they live or die. That's all I'm trying to say. Now, so if Al Roker says, "Hey, Ryan Lochte, he's a real douche," I would say to Ryan Lochte, where I advise him, I'd say, "Big deal. Big wow. Doesn't make any difference."
I think it does. I think that people, Al Roker's comments were widely heard and widely hailed.
All right, well, let me tell you what else should be widely hailed. Ryan Lochte is what he is. He's an entitled fresh-faced punk kid. So what? We got a million of them in America. We know how to deal with them. You can shame them publicly or all this, but it's the best thing that ever happened. And I even talked to a friend of mine who works at the Brazilian Federal Police, Ismael Alanda. This guy is one of the top people at the Brazilian Federal Police.
What's the guy's name?
Ismael Yolanda.
And he is, what is his rank?
He's like a colonel or a general or an admiral. I don't know what. They've got those ranks, they've got military ranks, like a full, you know, like an, I don't know, an admiral or something.
But an admiral.
I'm kidding. But anyway, I talked to him, and he said to me, now get a load of this. He said, Ryan Lochte, he said, I love him. He said, I love Ryan Lochte almost as much as I love my country. He said, I might even love Ryan Lochte more. Because what he's done is he's taken Brazil out of the headline and he's put America in there when it comes to acting like a full-fledged, fully organized, well-rounded, well-drilled douchebag. Let me tell you what.
Well, you know, that's all well and good, and that's the opinion of one of their corrupt police officials.
What do you mean corrupt? This guy's a friend of mine.
Well, you know what? Can you say, without fear of contravention, you know what that word means?
Yeah.
Oh, you do? What does it mean?
Disagreement.
All right, Margaret, big deal. What is this? You know, I'm going to use a word, and I hope nobody knows what it means.
No, that's not what this is. I'm going to use a big word and hope no one knows what it means. I just didn't think he'd know what it meant, and I could tell him what it meant, and I'd have a leg up.
Oh, you're going to get a leg up.
You're wearing a skirt.
You're a filthy...
Wait. Don't do the ha-ha.
You know, you people are very disorganized there. And what I would suggest is a flamethrower.
No, wait, don't get off the point. So this guy, this general or whatever the hell he is.
He's like a lieutenant colonel or some crap in the federal police. He said Ryan Lochte is a beautiful thing because he took America out of the headline. And America should have been, or he said Brazil should have been a headline. He took Brazil out of the headline, put America there. And
what did he do? He took Brazil out of the headline.
He took Brazil out of the headline, and he put Brazil back into the headline. He took
America into the headline and took Brazil out.
Right. He escorted America right into the headline and then opened the door and asked Brazil to leave.
What are you talking about? You know what? Talk about Henry drinking. What are they feeding you down there anyway?
I've been having some of that Brazilian rum, if it's any of your business, which it isn't. Now,
Is that right? You know, you're very rude, Coach, and what we're trying to do is help you along here a little bit.
No, you're not. You're not, because I'm trying to say something here.
Let's the coach finish.
Fine.
What I'm saying is, Ryan Lochte did the country of Brazil a big favor, and Brazil ought to turn around and, you know, offer him, like, I would say, accommodations, a home, money, something, because he made them look like they're, you know, just minted gold, like they're minted gold that dropped right out of an Incan warrior's ass. Excuse my language.
God, man.
Well, I'm tired of this stuff.
Well, what are we doing to you?
I don't know. You guys are just blah, 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 blah.
All right, we're talking with Coach Vernon Dozier.
What is a Kirch?
Yeah, what is a Kirch? There's no such thing as a Kirch. I misspoke.
Oh, all right. We thought there was a rank of some kind.
No, there's no such thing as a Kirch. I can assure you.
That's what I said. I misspoke is what I'm saying. We're talking here with Coach Vernon Dozier about Ryan Lochte, who was ripped by Al Roker and is, frankly, is being held in low regard by Americans because of this false police report, this ridiculous behavior, kicking in a bathroom door, then making up this whole horse dung story. And the coach here is telling us that Brazil ought to give Ryan Lochte an award for taking them out of the headline. And what is meant by that?
Well, what is meant by that is this... police captain friend of mine, or colonel, or lieutenant admiral, I don't know what he is. He's a hall monitor or something.
Well, you know, you sound like you're not very respectful of your friend.
I don't know what his rank is, and you people yapping about it hasn't helped me any.
Who is you people? You know that that's racist.
What?
Okay, Margaret, give it her. Go on.
Racist. I'm talking to this guy over here.
Hey, do you want to talk to us?
Sorry. All right, so what happened was this. When Ryan Lochte opened his yap and he did all the stuff that he did, Brazil was out of the headline. Now, Brazil is a toilet, like you said, Phil. They got more crime, more murder, more rape, more mayhem, all kind of, you know, environmental crimes. They've got toxic waste. They got. I wouldn't want to swim in that river. I'll tell you one thing, the Toxic Avenger, you know, that ghoul that's made out of all the poisons, everything like that?
Yeah, I bet you that thing lives in the river.
I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt that thing comes rising up out of that river some night and just says, you know what, I've had it with the whole stinking, foul, filthy continent of South America, and just belches over the whole thing and sets the whole damn thing ablaze. God, how I'd love it. Oh, I'd love to see that.
All right, Coach Vernon Dozier with us here as we talk about Ryan Lochte. The Al Roker thing, which...
Shirley Temple.
All right, get off the Shirley Temple. The Al Roker thing, which everybody heard and responded to favorably, here in the United States, what would you say to counter that?
I would say this. I'd say that if you have an Al Roker anywhere in America who wants to talk about the wretched, rotten hole that Brazil is, you get his ass up on TV. And if I were the host of that show, like that, they had the Vernon Dozier morning show or something, or put Phil Henry, I'd put that guy on front and center. So you can have Al Roker talking about, I love how this guy is named after a dressing. You know, here's a guy that lost 9 million pounds or whatever, and his last name is the name of a dressing.
What?
What do you mean, what?
What? You're talking about Roquefort dressing, right?
No, Roker. Oh, it's Roquefort.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, Phil, because I don't eat in the highfalutin joints you eat in.
That's not highfalutin. You can get Roquefort dressing in the supermarket.
Well, you can buy caviar in a supermarket, too. Don't mean that I'm shoveling that stuff down like Grant took Richmond. God damn.
All right, Coach Vernon Dozier is with us. Coach, you're coming home tomorrow night, right?
If I can get a plane out of this hellhole, I will. Otherwise, I may just have to take a seaplane and hop out to a ship somewhere out there in the... Atlantic, or maybe pop up into the Caribbean, but I got to get out of here.
Well, are you having a hard time getting out of there?
I don't trust it. I don't want some cop pulling me off the plane.
Well, you got connections.
Yeah, well, now those work two ways. You may have a friend in the police department who says, you know, I'll get you out of here, or a friend in the police department who says, you know what, that guy's a friend of mine. I want him detained and tortured, maybe even with car batteries, because, you know, I don't like him, and he owes me money, and I saw him with my girlfriend, and whatever.
All right. Well, good luck to you on all of those fronts. We'll be in touch.
Yeah, thanks. That's a great comfort.
Vernon Dozier.
You know, these guys that you send out there, it sounds to me like he's out there on a wing and a prayer.
No, he's not. He's got budget. He's got a hotel. He's got a rental car. He's got it all. If he chooses to use his per diem like a jackball, well, then he can just, jack it off, man.
Oh, my God, Phil.
World-famous Phil Henry Show, El Pacifico in Southern California. Going to be right back. We'll be talking a little bit more about Olympic as Jack Armstrong talks about the Serbian loss to the U.S.
And then Ted Bell is on with us to talk about his new versions of the Moscow Mule and the Mexican Mule as the Phil Henry Show continues.
The Pilgrimage Till Dawn, a new epic book by Reginald Gord. Pilgrimage Till Dawn, a new epic book by Reginald Gortman. The Pilgrimage to Dawn takes you down a breathtaking alleyway of sweetness and light. As the sun rises, our hero, Gudiver, and his sweet damsel, Miss Gunuia, are now looking over the city. It will be their realm, their place, to find their love and cherished loved ones. But as they enter the back alleys of the city, and they see the degradation, the nakedness, the nudity, as well as the raging hormonal, sadistic, sex, lust, garbage that... The Pilgrimage Till Dawn. It even makes our announcer cry with indignity. Pilgrimage Till Dawn, available now in paperback at
Hancock Books
and at Burgermeister's Books and Liquor. Come in, get drunk, and read. Burgermeister's.
Hi, friends. Phil Henry here for the Backstage Pass, which is your backstage pass to everything that is the PhilHenryShow.com website. The 20,000 plus hours of archived material of radio shows going back almost 20 full years. We have our archive podcasts as well. We have archive classic podcasts where we took sections of shows and featured them. We also have, of course, the classic hour that we feature every single day along with the daily podcast. So today, for instance, as you download this podcast, you'll note BSP only classic hour. That is for our backstage pass people to listen to. It's our way of introducing people to to various places in the archives. We also have our Henry home movies. Those are home movies from when I was a kid, and home movies that I continue to make here as a full-grown man. And, of course, we have pilots. We have radio interviews, TV interviews. We have an enormous, enormous reservoir of material and media, and it is only here at the Phil Henry Show website that for the price of a subscription for the month or the year, you have access to all of it and can enjoy it daily. And if you had to sit down and listen to everything we have on our website and you didn't eat, you didn't take a bathroom break, you just sat there and listened to it, it would take you 6 months.
Yay!
Oh, horse dung.
6 months.
PhilHenryShow.com. Get a backstage pass. Do something with your life.
I'm feeling myself. I'm feeling myself.
You know, some of this bumper music you've got the last week or so blows goat. Oh, it blows a goat in every barnyard it's ever visited. Well, thank you for that. That's,
well, I've got to agree with the general.
What is this? This is, it's Nicki Minaj. Oh, not that, Nicki is, you know.
Yeah, Nicki Minaj is a whole, she's a whole other thing.
Yeah, it's very unique, you know.
Yeah, I'll say she's unique. Hey, what about that Anaconda thing?
Don't talk about that. That was a disgusting display by a young woman that should know better, and certainly a young woman that has far more talent than to appeal to a mental midgetry that song appeals to, pardon the use of the term midgetry. I'm Margaret Gray, Bud.
All right, so thank you, Margaret. That was it's very nice. Ted Bell is going to join us here and talk about the Mexican mule.
Let me tell you something. Well, you have the story, right, Bud?
Yeah, well, Ted's revamping the menu at the restaurant, and he has a lot of different things. He's got a hold of a Stork Club menu.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, he's got Mugu Gaipan.
What's that?
Mugu Gaipan, and then he's going to sell the Tedlet. And,
yeah, so he's taken a lot of very traditional things and is, I guess he's renaming them so that they are incorporated into the milieu that is Ted's of Beverly Hills. And here he is. Woo!
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Come on down. Ted Bell here from Ted's of Beverly Hills. I want to ask you a question, though, Phil, when we get done. Do I get paid for those voice messages that I did for your listeners?
No.
All right, thanks. I was just asking, you know.
No, you don't.
Okay. Why? Let me ask you a question. Why don't I get paid for that? If I may be so bold as to ask.
Why don't you get paid for it?
Yeah.
Because you're doing it as a promotional service for my listeners who bought year-long BSPs.
And so I did a whole, one of the guys, I did a whole, hi, I'm Ted Bell, and so-and-so can't come to the phone because he's smoking a bong or something.
No, you didn't do that. You did, I think it was highest. You did what you did. You didn't do any drugs.
I didn't do any drugs. That doesn't speak very highly of your listeners. You understand what I'm saying? I'm Ted Bell.
Yay!
Thank you, bud. Now,
get out of here with that. No, my listeners, not one of them suggest anything like that. But no, you don't get paid.
All right, well. That's very interesting because usually there is some kind of, but this is gratis. You're saying it's a gratis deal?
Yeah, it's a gratis deal, Ted. If you don't want to do it in the future, let me know and we'll move on.
No. I'm not saying that. I'd be happy to. I just want to know, is it gratis? And you said it is gratis.
Yes, it's gratis.
All right, one of these gratis deals, huh? Hey, I'm talking to a guy.
Hey, excuse me, Ted, we're on the air.
Sorry. Phil, as you know, Ted's in Beverly Hills, as I just heard you allude, and Margaret, I would imagine you know, Ted of Beverly Hills is now bringing back some of the great classics from New York Stork Club. The Stork Club, yes. Opening in the 20s, it closed in the 1960s. The Stork Club was all that and more. It was absolute class, and the food. Oh, God. Sorry, I dropped the phone. Sorry. I wanted to. Let me try that again. And the food. Oh, fuck. I dropped it. I'm sorry, Phil, for the language.
Yeah, why don't you knock that off, Ted? It sounds ridiculous.
And who am I speaking with?
This is General Shaw.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you for the F-bomb. Thank you.
No, you're the one that dropped that. You said F, Ted.
All right, I'm sorry. I want to bring out Chef Carl Chedilia, who what I'm trying to do is bring, you know, elevate Ted's of Beverly Hills from a place where I have to serve your listeners to a place that's got some class. That's all.
Your place has always had class. What are you talking about?
Well, I appreciate that, Phil, but what we want to do is take it to a new level, a new height.
Now, what is this with the Tedlet? What is that?
The Tedlet is a gimlet. In other words, it's vodka and lime juice and some other guy. I don't know what it is. I got to get Rudy over here. Hey, Rudy, you and Chef Cedilli, okay?
Hello, Phil.
Hey, Rudy, how you doing?
Hey, this is Chef Carl Cedilli.
Guys, tell me about the new menu.
Well, first of all, in the bar, we have the Tedlet. We have the Ted Mary, or the Bloody Ted, excuse me. They have the Bloody Ted. We have the Ted Driver.
What is the Ted Driver? The screwdriver?
Yeah, it is the screwdriver, the Ted Driver, the Bloody Ted, the Tedlet, and the Ted Hound.
The Ted Hound? What's that?
That like a greyhound?
That's right, Dickman. He's a greyhound. What do you know about that? God, look at this guy, man. What do you know?
What do you know about that? He's kind of a young guy.
Yeah, okay, well, whatever.
Never mind about how he knows that stuff. So Ted is taking these different drinks.
Yes, he's taking the different drinks, and he's renaming them to the Tedlet. We just served a young lady, as a matter of fact, here about 20 minutes ago. Chef Cedilli, did you see her?
Yes, I did. And,
I think Chef Cedilli, he said she has a, and he was very respectful. He said she has a bottom very similar to that Sofia Vergara, the gallon, the woman on I can't even do it.
I know. Yeah.
She's on Modern Family.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she, oh, man, I look at her and I think to myself, la, 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 la.
Oh, I see, and that means I respect and love you.
Yes, it does, as a matter of fact, yes.
I think that he's being very respectful there.
Oh, give me a break. That's probably some filthy sexual come on.
No. No, it is not. When I see that woman, Sophia, from the Modern Family, I look at her and I go, yeah! And if she were to hear that, because she is from Hispanic culture, I don't know where the hell she's from. Where's she from, Phil?
I think she's from South America, something like that.
Yeah? Well, then she would know. She would know that I'm saying, I love you, you are, you know, whatever you said.
Hey, come on, man. Obviously, it's a sexual come on when you do that. We don't need to hear the whole story. We're here to talk about Ted's of Beverly Hills new menu.
No, but it's not.
Well, let me take over from here. The menu, Phil, we are going to be featuring on the menu, Cherry's Jubilee. We'll also have Baked Alaska. We are going to have Beluga Caviar. We are going to have Mugu Gaipan.
Now, what's the big deal with Mugu Gaipan?
What's the big deal with Mugu? boy, General, I love you.
Well, I'd like to know, too, because I don't really get it.
You don't get Mugu Gaipan, you don't get.
Well, I can help a little bit here, Chef.
No, Margaret, I thank you. Mugu Gaipan was the Chinese dish that they served at the Star Club.
Right, but I mean, what made that?
Well, because it was, the name was very flashy, and that was it. Whenever anyone thought about Chinese food, they thought Mugu Gaipan. And your mama, too. I'm kidding. That's just a joke.
All right, but enough with the joke. So what else?
All right, what else? Well, we have all of the great champagnes. I'll have to get to the list, but, and we have smoked turkey breast. All of the great items that you found on the old Stork Club menu. The baked sliced turkey Chesterfield. Oh, yeah.
Now, what is the turkey Chesterfield?
It's baked sliced turkey Chesterfield.
Why is it called Chesterfield?
Because of the guy that named it, I think, but also because that when you bring it out and you have it on a Chesterfield, like a Chesterfield commercial, you know, like a, I don't know, Phil. We have the recipe back there. Do you want to break? But you want to start breaking my balls over here?
No, I'm not. You guys said you were getting into the real class act. I thought I'd ask you.
And by the way, getting into the class act doesn't mean you want to start breaking my balls.
I did say it one time. And
so what else?
What else? We have roast LL, get this, roast I-I-L-I duckling, Bigorade wild rice, boneless stuffed Cornish hen.
What's Bigorade?
Never mind, okay? Boneless stuffed Cornish hen a la Walter Winchell. Now get a load of that. Walter Winchell at one time was a newspaper columnist. Everybody read him. Everyone thought he was the greatest thing since sliced bread. And they named a dish after him or something.
Well, it doesn't sound like it says a la Walter Winchell.
Yeah, it's served with Walter Winchell. I don't know.
What does that mean, a la?
I think it means with.
With? I was kidding. With Walter Winchell? God. Oh, God.
God.
They didn't cook him. I'm just saying that, who knows? Maybe it's, I think it was probably arrested or suggested by Walter Winchell or in honor of Walter Winchell.
All right, I can live with. We have broiled calf's liver. We have broiled lamb chops. We have prime beef stew, broiled hamburger steak. We have the combination combination hash, curry of jumbo shrimp, boiled live Maine lobsters. I don't even have half of the stuff in the back, but that's what they say we're going to be serving.
Well, so this is all off of the Stork Club menu.
Absolutely. And Ted's here right now.
Phil, listen, you were asking about the Tedlet, and it's my restaurant, Ted's in Beverly Hills. There was once a Stork Club. Good for them. You know, we're honoring them, but I don't want to keep going on and on about the Stork Club. What are you guys doing?
You said that we are going to recreate it.
Yeah, we're not recreating it. We're lifting a few ideas. This is Ted's of Beverly Hills, okay? This is what counts now. Stork Club, thank you very much. You had your time. You had your fun. You had your chance. Bug off while the bugging's good, okay? Because I'm not about to sit here and listen to you jokers go on and on and on about how just all this the Stork Club was. From my understanding, the place was rife with disease. They had a filthy kitchen.
All right, let's not start running people down.
Well, I'm just...
You don't know what you're talking about, Ted, is what is as usual. The Stork Club was the height of class, and Ted's at Beverly Hills is going to have to go a long, long way to match that.
So I'm paying, I just want to be sure, I'm paying advertising money so I can get insulted.
No. No, you're not.
All right, then why did that just happen?
Because you just insulted a longtime institution in New York, and it does not deserve it.
God, I can't do anything.
All right. Ted,
No, he's laughing. I'll take over. Thank you very much, Phil. So we invite everybody into Tents of Beverly Hills soon.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, buddy. And thank you very much, Chef Carl Cedilia. And thank you, of course, Rudy Canoza. And who else are we thanking? We're thanking everybody for being a part of this little segment on The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell.
He's not going to say anything, Phil. He's... Come on, Ted.
I never get to do anything.
All right. Ted's in Beverly Hills. Open 7 days a week. Come on in.
Here at Ted's.
I don't get to.
Do you want to put our meat in your mouth?
Yo. Me.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show will be right back. After this, not this, but something else.
Ever taken a look in the mirror and said, man, you're ugly? Well, now, at Dr. Fenco's, we can take that nose of yours, widen it, thin it, we can expand it, we can lift it up, raise it up on your face or lower it, and it'll only take 15 minutes with the new Dr. Fenco's technique. Dr. Fenco's been in the plastic surgery business for 16 years, and he's got ways of making you look good, Jack. You won't even know it's happening, even while it's happening. Go to Dr. Fenco's, Dr. Fenco's plastic surgery. Only now, he uses Play-Doh surgery. That's right. Dr. Fenco's has come up with a way to use regular children's Play-Doh to make your face look amazing. Handsome? Oh, yeah. You won't believe it. The ladies will be all over you like white on rice. And how does he do it? He takes the Play-Doh and spreads it across your face, makes your nose look good. Anybody could do it, but he decided he'd charge... All right.
Get out of here!
Dr. Fenco's Play-Doh surgeon.
This Bud Dickman reminding you to be a subscriber at the YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheRealBudDickman. We want to get 10,000 subscribers and see what happens. Our understanding is that if you get 10,000 subscribers, all kinds of bitching stuff happens. So we're going to see if that happens.
Go on over to youtube.com/TheRealBudDickman and become a subscriber to The Real Bud Dickman channel. All of the great Phil Henry videos, all of that kooky weird stuff that you have come to know and love is available there, and we'll be sharing a few too, and you ought to share some, right? Just make us all famous, man.
10,000 subscribers, huh? Well, we'll see what happens.
That's youtube.com/TheRealBudDickman.
Go and do it today or tomorrow.
Or yesterday.
Can't do it yesterday.
I know.
And the motherfuckers can't tell me nothing.
Oh, my God. Why do you turn the music up on that point?
I don't know. I know what's going to happen.
In the track.
Oh, is this more of this Nicki Minaj?
I told you this kid's a mental case.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We have got a fire that is affecting... We got a fire that's affecting a part of the... state that I love very, very much, part of the country I love very, very much, Big Sur, California, and there's a fire. It is called the, is it the Blue Cut Fire, I think, Bud, right?
Yeah, just, no, that's in San Bernardino.
This is the Central Coast Fire, I'm sorry. There's the fire out, this is fire season, so Hearst Castle crews and state firefighters have been rushed to protect the popular Central Coast tourist attraction, the Hearst Castle, from a 24,000-acre blaze sweeping across San Luis Obispo County as we speak. As of Sunday, the fire was about 2 to 3 miles from the historic estate in San Simeon, prompting the cancellation of tours.
Holy jeez, that would be a disaster.
Yeah, this is a historic place. It completed construction in 1947. If you saw the film Citizen Kane.
Well, yeah, Citizen Kane purports to represent the life of William Randolph Hearst, and I believe they approximate in that film the Hearst Castle.
Yeah, well, they have, there's this, I'll never forget the scene in the movie. It looks like they used it from a Frankenstein set, to be honest with you. There's a gigantic fireplace.
Oh, that's exactly right. That same gigantic fireplace was in Frankenstein's mother or whatever the hell the fish.
Frankenstein's mother, yeah. Right.
Well, whatever the hell the thing was called.
Well, called Frankenstein.
No, it wasn't in Frankenstein. The gigantic fireplace was in Frankenstein's sister or some shit.
What is so funny?
I don't know. Just the idea of a movie called Frankenstein's sister just...
Well, what, do you want to go out with her or something? I bet you Henry'd like to date her.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, you probably want to date Frankenstein's sister. Shut up!
Why are you laughing at us?
I don't know, man. Well, anyway, man, Frankenstein, it's not that, but I know the one you're talking about.
Oh, you know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's in the movie.
Well, I think that's the same set they used for Citizen Kane.
Okay, great. Good for them. Congratulations.
Well, Jesus, H. Phil, don't be a dickweed about it.
I'm just saying to you, man, I'm talking right now about Citizen Kane. In that film, yeah, they had that big, giant fireplace. I remember thinking, wouldn't it be cool to have something like that?
What, in case you wanted to commit suicide? In case you want to commit suicide, you just get up and walk into it? Get out of here.
What a foul way of thinking.
Yeah, you really need help, man.
Oh, I need help.
So let me get to this story. It is, it's quite a dramatic story. It says here, according to California Fire spokesman Rich Bocchino, or Bocchini, excuse me, when the weather and winds die down a bit, we can use that to our advantage. Hearst Castle is a piece of history in California. We are protecting that. See, they can go out to the ocean. Can they scoop that ocean water with those fire scoopers?
I don't know. It would be a very interesting thing to think about or to see.
Well, to that end, Margaret was out with some of the California fire crews as they were battling the blaze yesterday and filed this report.
Phil, I'm here above this Central Coast fire. I am located in Cambria, just down the highway from San Simeon, but it's very clear to me now. I can see the flames from the Central Coast fire, the black, thick smoke as it extends across the beautiful coast. And here now come the fire planes. These are the big tankers. Oh, look at the majesty of them. These big tanker planes will go out here just a few, several hundred yards, and scoop up water into the large tanks that are contained in these planes, and then, and only then, will they fly toward the fire and dump, excuse my language, they will dump the water onto these, here comes another one now. The majesty of these planes, just, yeah. Oh, God, how I love it. And Fire Chief Williams.
Well, they're doing a very good job right now, but we're hoping for them to conclude operations, and hopefully tomorrow is going to be a better day.
Now, as I filed this report, it is a Saturday. Tomorrow is a Sunday. How do the winds look for tomorrow?
I think the winds look very good. Right now, you can tell it's windy, but I think they're going to die down a little bit tomorrow.
Thank you very much, sir.
That's right. Could you move it away from these children, though? What you're doing is...
Move it away from those children here so that it won't... Why?
Some of the things you're doing.
Some of the things I'm doing? Anyway, Phil, as I reported... Here comes another one now. Here it comes.
Oh, would you stop that?
Oh, God! the grandeur and majesty of these great fire planes as they drop the water and save the Hearst Castle. Reporting from the central coast of California, I'm Margaret Gray. But
yay!
Were you on the up there with her?
No, I was on the other line.
Bud was on the other line, but I wanted him there to do his yay after I said, I'm Margaret Gray. But it was fascinating, Phil, to watch those planes.
You know, Margaret, the guy was saying you were getting all, oh, you know, what is that about?
It is how dare you? What do you think I'm doing?
God, sounds like you're having a doorgasm or something.
A doorgasm? You know, you're so dumb, I can't get angry at that.
All right, everybody, calm down.
What are you talking about?
Just calm the hell down. So, it looked pretty bad, huh?
Well, it was, the wind was whipping it up, and the wind whipping up through the canyon, you know the song, the wayward wind is a restless wind, and a restless wind is born to wander, and I was born the next of kin. The next of kin. Yeah, to the wayward wind, 2, 3, and a 1.
The wayward wind. All right.
Sorry, the basso profundo.
You know, that freaks me out every time you do that.
Thank you, Margaret, with her basso profundo of, who did that originally?
That was, it says here, Goggy Grant.
Goggy Grant, not Goggy Grant. What do you think it would,
Slow down.
Do you think she caught for the New York Yankees, is what I was going to say.
Caught what? Yeah.
When you go dancing, man.
Every time you go dancing, Bud, I just stick the left hand out, you know. What are you looking at?
When you said stick it out.
You say,
hey! Come on, watch it. You're gonna bust this stuff up here.
Well, then you might want to move it, Phil, because when I get my hands on him, all the stuff, I'm gonna throw this place in the street.
We'll be right back. Oh, we will be right back. Oh, okay. Well, that's bad news.
Make it easy. Yeah. Easy to love me.
Richards, the place for men and boys. Richards with jackets and hats. Richards with shoes and socks. Richards with underwear and t-shirts. Men and boys come to Richards. The classic new class stylings for the fall. Your tweeds, your embers, and of course the corduroys. The classic stylings for the winter with the big fur coats, the big fur flaps, and you look like a lumberjack going out to kill something to eat it. Yes, every woman loves the way a man dresses at Richards, 5th and 10th. Richards. Go to Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Boston, or New York. Ask them where Richards is. They'll say we haven't a clue. It's out on the West Coast. Richards.
At Sweet Farm, we try to make it so you don't notice that you're slowly being padlocked in. At Sweet Farm, we make it so that your loved one feels free as a bird, even as the window is being clanged shut, the bars are being put up, and the soft room is being readied. Yes, at Sweet Farm, a nut house, a psychiatric facility, and a visit to another planet. You'll be glad you did.
Sweet Farm, a nut house, a jail, and a psychiatric facility all rolled into one. And now you can bring your loved one to Sweet Farm for as little as
$39.95.
That's our special this week at Sweet Farm.
$39.95. Can you believe it? For the beauty, the luxury, the wonder, and the comfort of Sweet Farm.
Sweet Farm. I was a raving lunatic. I was picking up squirrels and tearing them in half. I was diving through the back windows of cars. I was going off and becoming an airline pilot, learning everything there was to know, and then getting on board for my first trip naked.
Sweet Farm. It's sweet, it's a farm, and it's where you belong.
Sweet Farm.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. I'm Margaret Gray. And this is the Wayward Wind. Oh, the wayward wind is a restless wind. And the...
Come on.
A restless wind that yearns to wander. And he was born the next of kin. The next of kin. To the wayward wind. See what I'm doing with that?
Yeah, I see, all right.
What a dick. In a lonely shack by a railroad track, he spent his younger days. Oh, I guess the sound of the outward bound, if you'll pardon my language.
All right.
I'm sorry. You made him a slave to the wandering ways. Oh, the wayward
wind.
All right, Finn, get out of here, will you?
Yeah, you always wreck everything.
I didn't wreck anything. You wrecked it by being here and making me think about things that I shouldn't be thinking about.
What is like what?
Like fucking that song. Excuse my language. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. That's right.
Jack Armstrong's joining us.
Jack Armstrong on the line. I've been wanting to talk with Jack here. He's going to give us a little more on the win by the United States team over Serbia in the gold medal round of basketball. Jack, take it away.
Hey, this is Jack Armstrong. Thank you very much to Phil and the General and Margaret and everybody. The United States of America defeated Serbia for the gold medal of the Olympic. It's with mixed feelings that I start to think about it because, what the hell is this?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they're dropping water over here.
Where are you?
I think, I'm in San Luis Obispo.
Get out of there, will you? Call us back when you get to the right place, okay? Okay?
Okay.
Anyway, nice job, Phil. Well, what was he going to talk about anyway?
Well, he's going to talk about how he's got mixed feelings about Serbia not winning, about mixed feelings about how he doesn't like the United States winning, and it's all mixed feelings.
So I take it he's got mixed feelings.
Yeah. He's got mixed feelings.
I know he's got mixed feelings about them not winning and Serbia not winning. And
Jack? Yeah, I got to turn the music off. Huh? I got to turn off the wayward wind as the western wind. The wayward wind is the western wind?
Hey, bud, just turn it off. Don't tell him the whole story.
Sorry, hold on. Yeah, Jack, you don't know wayward wind? Wayward wind is as the restless wind.
Hey, Jack, it's Phil Henry. How you doing?
Oh, okay, Phil. I got to a more quiet place. I'm over here at Pungie's in Cambria. I don't know how I wound up in San Luis Obispo, but I guess I was driving down from San Francisco, or maybe I'm driving north. I don't know. It was wherever you put me, but seems to be a much, much more quiet place. Somebody's got a television set on. I think I'm going to get a hamburger, if it's all the same to you.
Sure, just use your per diem.
What's that?
The money we give you?
Oh, that's what that was. I thought you were paying me. I thought that poker game. All right. Anyway, Phil, it was the Serbian team going down to defeat to the United States at the gold medal round. It hurts me. Hurts me very deeply on the one sense because my family is of the Balkan states. I'm not saying Serbia necessarily. I'm not really sure. It is part of what was once called Yugoslavia. I think it's like Slovenia or Croatia or some jazz like that. But you can tell from the accent that I have that I was raised in America, but by Serbian parents or some kind of a parent.
Well, you said you're not sure if they're Serbian.
Right, you're right. I was raised by... I never did find out from my mother. I said, where are you from originally, Mom? And she looked at me and then collapsed on the kitchen floor. I think maybe it was because they were already... The UN had set up those courts, you know, the war crime.
Okay, Jack, enough about your family. So tell us about the game.
Well, the game from start to finish, United States dominated Serbia, kicked their ass up one side and down the next. Carmelo Anthony, Kevin Durant, everybody got into the act, and it was a beautiful, beautiful thing. For the reporting for the Phil Henry Show, the gold medal round out of basketball, this is Jack Armstrong. Yellow.
What?
What's wrong? What's wrong? This has been the most jacked up, disorganized show, and God knows we do a lot of them, but this one takes the cake, Jack. Honest to God, it does. All right, sports fans, the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com calls it another day. Thanks so much for being a part of the show, and stay tuned to us as we give you more information on how things are going in the, battle to get our website rebooted properly so that none of you guys are left hanging. Things are going good. Like I said, we hit another snag this weekend with this whole CyberSource lockout. But we'll talk to you and update you again tomorrow.
World-famous Phil Henry Show, executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved. On Podcast One, I am General Galen Shaw.
Hey! Oh, the wayward wind is the restless wind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Margaret, knock it off, or I'll fire you.
What an ass. Ms. Gray's online, too. Yeah, Margaret.
Asshole.